Stay on your feet. Let's just sing together tonight.
Up. blessed be your name in a land that is beautiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in a desert place, though I walk through the wilderness.
That's great, huh? That's awesome. Y'all can be seated tonight. Blessed be his name. Every blessing I'll pour back, you pour, I'll get back to praise. That's, wow. Amen. Beautiful. All right, kiddos, dismissed to Sunday to Wednesday school, children's church, whatever you want to call it. Picking back up on our five steps we're talking about for a new season. And if you remember, 3 weeks ago we talked about repentance and what that brought, what that meant. Then next week we talked about prayer and the importance of prayer in our life. We skipped last week because of our VBS graduation. So we pick up this week with the third step of that walk into a new season that's important for us as Christians, and that is reading his word. Randy brought it up. Last Sunday or Wednesday one when he spoke, he brought it up about, you know, how many times do we really read God's word? Do we really open it up? Do we know what it says? If someone came to us and asked for spiritual advice, could we give them anything out of the word of God? And we can unless we know it ourselves. And the only way we know it ourselves is that we read it ourselves. And his word is very powerful. His word makes a difference in our lives. I do believe as a Christian that this is his truth. I don't believe that there's any made-up fables. I believe this is the authoritative word of God for our lives. I trust it. I think it's the most truthful, sacred book that's ever been written. I believe it is God-inspired, it is God-written, and it is relevant for today's generation. It's not something just for when it was happening, but it's something that's happening now. So I want to get into some scriptures here. We'll go to a foundation. These first two scriptures in Timothy are in the Amplified version, so it won't match your King James or whatever quite the same as Amplified, these two. So go ahead, Brandon. 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's look what it says. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration, and profitable for instruction. We don't like instructions, do we? We hate when our boss tells us something to do. For reproof, we don't like that either. We don't like reproof. And for conviction of sin, we don't like that either, do we? So far, not real positive, right? This points out tells me how to live, tells me when I'm not doing it right, and then points out when I'm wrong. Then goes on to say, for correction of error, for discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will and thought. This is God's word. That's the importance of it. That it's for all those things. Instruction, reproof, conviction, to teach us how to walk the way God wants us to walk. Because how else would we know? We know that sin does not need to be taught. If you've ever raised children, sin does not need to be taught. Or if you're married, sin does not need to be taught. Because out of us flow those emotions of anger and those emotions of rebellion and all of that stuff. And you don't have to teach someone how to act bad, but you do have to be trained in how to act right. We've got some veterans in here tonight, served some time in the Army and Navy. And I guarantee you that their Bible was them. I am your drill sergeant, and I am the Holy Word of God. And I'm going to instruct you and show you how to be a soldier in the United States of America. And you will listen to what I say and do what I say. If you don't, you will pay a price. And it don't take long for them old boys to start saying, "Yes, sir, by sergeant, yes, sir." Don't take long at all to figure out, okay, I better listen to this. Sin, we don't have to be taught. But to live by God's word and to do what's right, we have to be taught. And this word of God's an important tool in doing that. Look at the next verse. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Till I come, devote yourself to public, that's what we're doing tonight, and private reading, to exhortation, which is preaching, personal appeals, and to teaching and instilling doctrine. In other words, you're supposed to read the word publicly and privately. It's important you don't ever forsake this. It's in God's word. We still do it. You know, Randy says something the other night, and I've said this for many, many years. When he said it, I was like, yes, I'm glad he said that, because I've said this for many, many years. Because you got some folks may not believe this way, but I do, and apparently Randy does. He says he can read the same verse different times of his life and get a different meaning out of it based on what he's going through at that time. Now, some folks, oh, we can't do that. Now, it only means one thing. No, the Word of God is alive. It's breathing. It's inspired by and interpreted through revelation. So if I read something when I was 10 years old and it spoke to me a certain way, I can read it again at 30 years old. I'm in a different season. I'm not that 10-year-old child no more. God, I need manna from today. See, every day the children of Israel marching, every morning that manna fell to the ground. There was no leftovers, and they couldn't save it because the sun, the Bible says that the sun would rise, the heat would hit it, it would spoil. So whatever they didn't gather and eat that day, it rotted away in the ground. There had to be fresh manna for tomorrow. So this Bible, this Word of God, is fresh manna. Every time we read it, every time we open it, it speaks to us where we're at right now. And I think that's powerful. Because this is a living book. It's not like math. We know 2 plus 2 is going to always equal 4. I don't care. Even if Donald Trump tries to change that, it ain't going to happen. Okay? 2 plus 2 equals 4. We know that. We know the sun is 93 million miles away. That's been a fact since, you know, my grandma was in grade school. I mean, that's what it's been. Those are facts. But when it comes to reading God's word, and when we read something, even something as simple as John 3:16, it can inspire us and we can get something we never got before out of that for our lives. Gordon's always talking about that, how he reads something and how God gives him a revelation that he never heard before, saw before until that moment. It's because that revelation wasn't to be revealed until that moment that he needed it. So this is the foundation of the Word of God. We're supposed to preach it, read it, teach it, and this is the things that it does. Now I'm going to get into, I think, 5 points tonight I'm going to make off this here and give you some scripture. And some of these are going to match prayer because they go hand in hand, prayer and reading the Word of God. So you're going to see some of the same things. But reading the Word of God gives us direction. Many of us need direction in our lives. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We don't know where God wants to be. We're not happy maybe where we're at. We feel God is changing our direction, but we're just not sure about what that is. And so we go to God's Word. And it's amazing how God's Word will show us what He wants us to do and where He wants us to go. Now, He may not speak on our timetable, and He may not speak right where we're wanting Him to. But as you get into God's Word, begin to read it. If nothing else, He may turn you to a verse that just says, wait upon the Lord. Okay, so I'll wait. That's my direction for now, God. I'll wait for further directions. It gives us direction. We have a whole population of people that don't have direction for their lives. They don't have directions for their future. They don't know where God wants them to be or what they're supposed to do. They don't have direction how to get out of what they're in. They're in a dark place or a cycle. And God, I don't know how to change directions. This is the way I've always been, always went, and I can't change it. But it gives us direction. Here's some verses to back this up. First one is in Proverbs 3:5. We know this verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. That's a lot of the problem, is we lean to our understanding. You know, how many times have we done something but God's really not been in it? You know, we just done it kind of on our own. We didn't really include God. We didn't allow God to be a part of what we're doing. We just did it on our own. And then sometimes it fails, and we're like, why did it fail? Well, God wasn't part of the equation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I didn't read that verse. I'm sorry. Go to the next one. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. We got to go to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, people say, I pray, but I can't hear God. God don't really answer me. God is answering more than we realize if we'll listen to that still inner assurance that we know. You know, it's like when you know that you know something inside. You really know what the right thing is. That's God speaking to you. Trust that voice. Trust that place God's put you at to where you're praying, God, give me direction. And then when He gives it to you, trust it and follow it, even if you think He gave you wrong directions. You ever GPS somewhere, trying to get somewhere or get home from somewhere, and it takes you, and you look at it and you're like, it's got me going through there? That can't be right. And you look ahead to your direction, oh, yeah, there it is. Got me right back to my house. It didn't make sense sometimes how GPS took you. You wouldn't have went that way on your own, but it cut you through a country road. You went by a barn, a tractor, a haystack. You went by Farmer Joe's and Uncle Jack's, and, you know, you went down a road to a curve. You saw the back end coming around. You're like, is that the way I'd have went? But, okay, that's what GPS says, the most direct route. That's what we should desire. God, I want the most direct route to where you want me to be. The children of Israel had a two to three week journey to get the promised land. Took them 40 years. They needed some GPS up in there, didn't they? Yeah. I mean, a 2 or 3 week journey took them 40 years because God was doing something. But if we acknowledge God, He will direct our steps. And that comes by reading His Word and getting direction out of His Word. Next verse about direction. Psalms 119, 105. I quoted this, I think, last week. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Light's a beautiful thing. We know what light does. Light illuminates things. It makes it clear. See, I've got contacts in right now, so I can't see. See, I've got it bad both ways, okay? I can't see close up, and I can't see far away. What can you see, Pastor? Not much. So, with my contacts, I have to have these readers. That's why I don't read my Bible out there. These on. It magnifies it. Well, if I'm in a restaurant, I don't always have my readers with me. And readers are glasses, Melanie, just to clarify that. Melanie thought they were books. They're glasses. They're called readers. Am I not right on that, old-timers? They're called readers, right? Okay. All right. So if I don't have my readers at the restaurant and I look in the menu, I can't always see it real good. You know what I do? I take my little phone out, hit my light button. I know, I'm not such a nerd. You're this old man with a light on his menu. You're not cool to hang around, I know. So I'm sitting here, Melanie's blind, I can't see my menu, sorry. So I'm shining this light. But you know what? All of a sudden, just by shining that light on my menu, I can see it. It doesn't magnify the words. They're not any bigger. But it makes it brighter and clearer. And by having a little bit, because some of these restaurants are dark. You know, I ain't always mood to be romantic. I just want to eat. You know what I'm saying? Some of these restaurants are dark. And so you got to have a light. And when I put my light on that menu, all of a sudden I can read it. Because light illuminates. Light makes it clear. That's what God's word does. It makes our path clear. We don't know where to go. But when we let God involved in our business, all of a sudden he shows us which way to go. He illuminates our path. He makes it clear. We have one of those moments like, oh, yes, God, I see it. I hear you. I've got it. It's like the old Blues Brothers movies. I love the Blues Brothers movie. When they're in the tent revival, remember? And they're in there shouting and dancing, and somebody's spirit's moving up in that tent. And they come in there with their shades and derby hats, and they're in that tent. And all of a sudden, that guy gets sucked up, ratcheted up in the air. And this light shines about him, and he sees and hears God's voice. And when he comes back down, he's taking off dancing. He's dancing Pentecostal style up in there. And he says, I saw it. I see it. I hear you. He got a hold of something. The light shined upon him. And what he couldn't see before, he could see now. That's what light does. Darkness blinds us, but light illuminates. And that's what God's word is. It clearly shows us which way we should go. Once again, it may not be the time we want. It may not be the day we want it. But keep seeking God's word, reading his word, and saying, Lord, show me through your word what you want me to do. And God will point you or turn you, or he'll open up a verse to you that'll be just, you know, the old, you know, what the young kids do now. Maybe not old, young, but the older. It's what God does sometimes. It's like, wow, I see it. So his word gives us direction. Number two, second point. God's word gives us peace. Boy, to know we can have peace in this world is a beautiful thing. That we can have peace with all the chaos, with all the pain, with all the stress, with all the troubles, with all the fears, with all the worries, that we can have peace in this world. And we find that peace through reading God's word. Look at a verse that talks about this. Isaiah 55:10. And I love this verse. I've read it before through the years, but when I got to it this time, I don't know, it just did something to me. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from the heaven, and returneth not, but it watereth the earth, and it maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now think about this. When rain falls, when snow falls, it doesn't return back into the heavens. It fulfills a purpose. It accomplishes something. It's doing a work on the earth. It wasn't by accident that it happened. It came down on purpose, for a purpose, with a purpose, to water the landscape and to bring life to it. So look at the next verse. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I send it. If the rain and snows water our land have a purpose, how much greater the word of God has a purpose. He has not returned void. When he speaks to us through this holy word, these words are living. This is where we got the church name years ago, Living Word Ministries. It's a living word. It's alive with a heartbeat. It's pulsating. It's real. It's for now. It's for tomorrow. It's for the next generation. It was for yesterday's generation. It's for all generations. And just the snow and rain comes down with a purpose to accomplish something. God's word accomplishes something. It fulfills something. It has a purpose to it. And you may not see it right now. I was telling Gordon before service, you know, when God promised Sarah that baby, her and Abraham, when she was old, she laughed. Well, it took 25 years for them to have that kid. The promise didn't happen the next week or the next month. 25 years later. But you know what? God spoke that word. And that word could not go back empty-handed. That word could not go back without fulfilling what it was sent to do. That word had to produce what that word was. That seed had to produce what that seed was. And the seed that was spoken was, you shall have a child, a seed from the loins of Abraham. And 25 years later, that seed came to pass through Isaac. And he was born. 25 years passed. Imagine they waited and waited. talked amongst themselves, probably doubted, you know, is it really going to happen? I mean, man, we're getting in an hour, you know, look how we're 100 now. We're 75 when God promised it to us. You're 100 now. Still ain't happened. Oh, but one night, the word that God spoke came to life. And that seed jumped into the womb of Sarah and did a work. And I can see God saying, I told you so. You ain't laughing now. You're having pain, ain't you? You're having some childbirth pain going on. But you believe me now. God's word will come to pass. Remember he told Noah to build an ark. I'm going to flood the earth. Build an ark. I'm going to send you some animals. Save your family. You know how long it was before the flood came? 120 years. 120 years went by after God spoke the word. People probably thought it ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. I know God. You said God said it, blah, blah, blah. Well, where's it at? Where's the rain? Where's the flood? I'm still living. I'm still walking. I'm not swimming. I'm not drowning. Everything's like it always has been. You know, 5 years goes by, 10, 15, 50, 75, 100. 120 years passed, and then one day something happened. And all of a sudden, that word that God has spoken over a century earlier was being fulfilled. His word does not come back empty or void. What he says, he will do. And that's why it's important that we read our word and know what it says about us, that we are justified by faith and not by works, that those that believe in him shall never die, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that we are more than a conqueror through Christ, that we read these verses and understand he's talking to us. He's not just, you know, making up stuff. This is God's word to me, telling me who I am in him. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm an ambassador of Christ. Read these things and find out what is the word saying about my relationship to my God, because what he says is true. Next verse. Talking about peace. Be careful for nothing. The word careful actually means anxious or don't worry. So don't worry, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then here's what happens. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I can have peace in the midst of my storm. Yes, I can have peace in the midst of my battle. Yes. But what we must do is what we talked about 2 weeks ago through prayer. What prayer really is giving something to God and trusting him with it. So God, as I give you this battle, as I give you all these issues, as I give you all the things I can't fix, all of a sudden his peace can come over me because I'm no longer trusting in me. I'm trusting in the one that can do it. I mean, we see in college football and pro football, basketball, whatever, we see big-name coaches come to a program and the world goes crazy. Oh, he's going to change the whole – that one name, that one coach can turn a whole team around. And that happens many times. That one coach, that one name, all of a sudden takes a losing program and makes it a winning program because the players, the organization, believe in him. What if we believe in Christ as much as we believe in other people? The Lord can fix our problem. The Lord can change our circumstance. The Lord can heal our body. The Lord can restore our marriage. The Lord can save our children. The Lord can give us a job. The Lord can pay the bills. The Lord can feed us and clothe us and protect us and shield us and take care of us and deliver us and set us free. Our God can do those things. And when we get in his word and read that, all of a sudden, man, God, why am I don't have peace about nothing. I'm worried every day. What if, what if, what if? Take the what ifs out. It's not about what if. It is what has already happened. It's what has already happened. He's already died. He's already risen. He's already your Lord and Savior of all. He's already King of kings. He's already head of all principalities and powers. He's already all those things. He's already a giant slayer, a sea divider, a lion tamer. He's all of those things every day, all the time, and that's never going to change. And when we know who he is, all of a sudden we can have peace to know it doesn't matter what I see, what I feel, what the devil says. I know who's in charge, and my trust and my faith is in him all the time. That's the kind of peace we need. give it to God and let him handle it. Go to the next one, Brandon. Reading his word gives us joy. It gives us joy. We need joy sometimes in our lives. Remember praying for Jewel that one night at the altar. Remember that, Jewel, and the joy of the Lord came on you. That was amazing. And it even came on my mom. It was so. I've never seen this happen before. I was praying for you, and you began just to like laugh. And then I look back, and mom, it hit her. She didn't get the full thing. It was like a little, and it was gone. A little electrical shock. But mom was just sitting there all serious, and all of a sudden she went, and it was gone. And it was like, wow, I've never seen that. She got just a little jolt of it. And I'm like, man, that's what we need. Because, see, joy, I said this before, happiness is based on happenings. But joy is based on him. And so if we're basing our joy on our happenings, we're not going to be joyful very much. Because let's admit it, a lot of our days aren't the best. Sometimes we got pain in our bodies. We got bills overdue. We got screaming youngins. We got, you know, whatever our issue is. There's a lot of days that aren't good. So if we base our joy on how our day goes, we're not going to be joyful very many times. Unless it's Wednesday between 11 and 12 here at Village Inn. That's a joyful moment for you. But happiness is based on happenings. What is happening around us. And joy is based on what's happened in us. So here's some verses about joy. How the Word of God gives us joy. This is a Psalm 16:9. This is David's talking. It says, "Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth." Why? Because my flesh shall rest in hope. See, David knew there was a resurrection that's going to take place. And David knew that he would not be left in the grave. He knew that he would have a resurrection of body. He knew death wasn't the last step or the last stop. He knew darkness would never hold him forever. So he had joy knowing, I may not be here always, but I won't be in the grave always either, because there's a resurrection day coming. So he had joy about his future. Then verse 11 says this, same chapter. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. We need some joy. Let's get in the presence of God and spend some time with him, talking to him and praising him and worshiping him and just letting him take all of the stuff that's on us away from us and just replace that with a joy that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Because the joy I'm talking about has nothing to do with how much money you make, what kind of house you live in, how hot your wife or husband is, how good your kids are, how nice your car is, what kind of job you have. It is based on none of those things. The joy that I'm talking about is only found in the presence of our Heavenly Father, the God of all creation, that when we bow our knee, we feel his presence fill us. We have a burning bush moment like Moses did, where the voice cries out and calls us by name, and we are so overcome with that presence that all we can do is rejoice, because everything else melts away and falls off of us, because his joy overshadows us. That's what we need, a joy of the Lord back in our spirit and back in our heart. And David knew that. He says that at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God, you've got what all I need in my life to satisfy me. God, you've got what I need to satisfy me. Next verse. Jeremiah 15:6. I love this verse. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Man, God, I ate your words. What if we guys excited about opening our Bibles when they go into a buffet? I mean, Gail's waiting on the doorstop when that door opens at the Village Inn. He's waiting. He's probably the first customer in there. I'm waiting on my Village Inn. I'm ready. I'm here. I'm ready to go. Got my booth ready, my same table. I'm ready to go. What if we were excited about eating the Word of God as we was our thing, whatever that is? And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's what gave me joy, God. Was eating on your words, was hearing what you had to say, was listening to your voice, was being in your presence. That's what gave me joy. You know, we got folks that'll pay high dollar for backstage passes and stuff like that to see certain singers, or if you go to a sporting event and you want a backstage thing, you pay hundreds, thousands of dollars to get, you know, VIP treatment to meet someone or go somewhere special. Here we got the greatest VIP in the world, right? He's the most very important person. He's our creator. We ought to be beating the door down to be in his presence. And the good news is there's no cost. We just enter into his presence. We just call upon his name and say, God, it's me and you time. It's just me and you time. I need some time alone with you, God, to hear your voice, to talk to you a little bit. I can walk out of here knowing it's going to be okay, that I'll have my peace and I'll have my joy. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. I joy, God, eating your word and knowing I'm called by your name. I'm your child. I'm telling you something. I say this all the time. If we were related to someone popular, the whole world would know about it. Y'all be telling everybody. If Jewel was the daughter of Madonna, I don't know. The daughter of Madonna. Every time she got pulled by a cop, you know who I am? You know who my mom is? Madonna. Every time, you know, she'd be going everywhere. She'd get a job. You know who I am? You know who my mom is? Madonna. Madonna, my mom. You know Madonna. You heard of Madonna, hadn't you? Little old singer named Madonna. Oh, yeah. I'm her child. If we have a connection to someone like that, we're proud of that for the most part, of who we celebrate. If we were, you know, they make it very known, I'm related to, this is my dad, this is my mom, da-da-da-da-da-da. We're called by the name of the Lord. We're a child of God. Think about that. Who am I? I'm a child of the King. My Father is the Lord Almighty. My Father is the ruler of heaven and earth. My Father created all things you see, visible and invisible. My Father spun this earth, and my Father created that sun and the moon and stars. My Father created the wind you feel against your face and the grass you feel against your feet. My Father created all of these things. My Father, and I belong to him, and he calls me his son. He calls me his child. He calls me his own. He calls me the redeemed. He calls me an heir. That's who my dad is. And maybe Don was a bad example. I was just trying to think of somebody. I went to my generation. So, next thing. Number four, the Word of God gives us strength. Isn't that great to have strength? We need strength to live, don't we? It takes strength to face every day. It takes strength to get out of bed some days. It takes strength to go to work. It takes strength to face your family issues every day, face your job every day, face whatever you're battling every day, your financial distress, your physical pain. It takes strength. It takes strength just to walk in faith. Because sometimes, someone was telling me earlier, sometimes we're saying, God, give me something to hang on to. God, just give me something to hang on to because I'm not seeing it. And I'm praying and I'm reading your word and I'm talking to you. And God, nothing seems to be working out. Give me something to hang on to. And sometimes God may not give you the answer. He may not let the storm pass away at that moment. But something he can do is give you strength in that moment to endure what you're facing and get back up and go through one more day. I've got the strength, God, to face it. You've given me strength. Teresa testified about that many times, feeling so weak to even come to church, and her body didn't want to give way, but she fought through that, and God gave her strength to get up and get dressed in her physical weaknesses and get here. That's the strength God gives us. And it's a strength that's necessary. We need a physical strength to face every day. We need a spiritual and emotional strength to face every day because the enemy and the adversary is roaming like a lion, the Bible says, roaring to and fro, seeking him who may devour. The devil's got one job, to knock you off the path. He's got one job, to eat you up and discourage you and put you in a spiral going downward to where you lose your hope, you lose your faith, you lose your peace, you lose your joy. The more miserable you are, the happier the devil is. Don't give him that pleasure. Say, God, I need strength for today. I need strength for tomorrow. I need strength to face in my marriage. I need strength to get through what I'm battling. God, I need strength. I'm tired and I'm weak. I had someone text me today, says, pray for me. I'm mentally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. There's a place we get sometimes we feel that way. We're just absolutely exhausted in all areas of our lives. And God steps in and gives us strength. Look at some verses on this. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. God has promised to strengthen us. You're not by yourself. I've got you. I'm holding you up. It's like the beautiful poem Footprints, you know, where there's two sets of footprints through the whole sand, and then the guy gets the worst time of his life, the worst season of his life he's ever been in, and he looks down, there's only one set of footprints, and he got mad at God and says, God, my whole life I've seen two sets of footprints where you walk beside me, side by side, every day of my life, but then when I hit this, man, when I hit this dark place, I look down, and your footprints are gone, and I only see one set. Where did you go? And he spoke to him and says, that is when I carried you. Whew. That's when I carried you. God don't leave us because it gets hard. God don't leave us because we're weak. God doesn't leave us because we fail. God doesn't leave us because we're in a bad place. God doesn't leave us because we make mistakes. God doesn't leave us when our faith even weakens. God remains. He's there. He's steadfast. He's constant. He's always. He's forever. He is there. And whether we realize it or not, there are days that we are strengthened by him that we don't even realize we are. We just think it's us, or the day wasn't that bad, or we're just in a good place, or our medication's really working good, or whatever. But you know what? There are days that God strengthens us when we don't even know it to get us through our day. Next verse, Brandon. Matthew 4:4. This is Jesus speaking. He answered and says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus is saying it's much deeper and more than physical sustainment. Taste of my words. Taste of my words and you'll be strengthened. We can go, it's been proven. A healthy person, I guess, can go weeks without eating if they had to. They could go 2-3 weeks without eating. A month without eating. It's not the natural food that we need to satisfy us. It's him that we need to satisfy us. It's him that we need to strengthen us. It's him that we depend upon to get us day by day. Our life is more than drink and food and entertainment and houses and lands and cars. And our food is him. Our strength is him. My strength cometh from the Lord. I look unto the hills. Where's my help come from? From the Lord. That's where my strength comes from. By the word of God. This word he's talking about. Here's the great thing about it. Sometimes, let me turn your thinking around here a little bit. Some of us say, man, if I just could have been there when Jesus walked the earth, that'd have been a lot better. We talked about this earlier, me and Gordon. You know, because, he was there. Hey, master, what do I do now? Hey, master, can you heal me? I got stage 4. Just lay hands on me. Hey, master, we're out of wine again at the party. Can I do your little thing? You know, we can just go to about anything, right? You know, hey, master, I've been fishing all night. Ain't caught a thing. Can you do your little magic wand and can I drop the net again now? Will the fish be there? It'd be great to be able to be there and touch him and all that. But here's the beauty. We've been left with much more. We've been left with a finished work of the written word of God. And we've been left with the power of the Holy Spirit that came that upper room and has poured upon all flesh that's caught upon his name since. So though we can't physically touch God the way the disciples could, we have the Holy Spirit with us every single day, every single moment, every single second. There is not a lapse of time that we are separated from the presence of God. That's a beautiful thing. And we have his word. So we can go back and we can see what the disciples went through. We can see all the works of Paul that all Paul writ. We have all the gospels recorded for our record to go back over and over to say, man, you know what? God did it for them. He'll do it for me. God did it for her. Do it for me. God did it that way. He can do it again. God healed then. God heals now. God provided then. God provides now. We see story after story, and we have a record of this. These were eyewitness accounts. This wasn't some myth. This little boy truly had five fish and 2 loaves of bread or whatever, that had that little bit of lunch. That really happened. And the Lord took that little bit of bucket of food and multiplied it to feed in excess of 5,000 people. Okay, yeah, but that was back then. What's changed? Because the same folks that say that will believe what the Bible says. I am the same yesterday, today,
and forever. And the Bible says, I'm God and I change not. He can still do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and to who he wants to do it, at any time, anywhere. God can still do that. So we have more than Jesus walking the streets of Galilee. We've got his presence living in us. Jamie back there posted a very good text a couple months ago. I think it's on Nikki's phone before he got his own phone. And it was such a blessing. He sent a text, put it on Facebook. That's the only reason I'm saying it, because he put it out there. It ain't nothing private. If it's on Facebook, brother, it's public. Just to let you know, okay? So he put on there. So I'm going to paraphrase. I can't remember exactly what it was, but paraphrasing, he put on there. This is a little quiet Jamie. Never talks to anybody, right? He's real quiet back here. Sits back here, minds his own business. Don't cause no trouble. Don't interrupt the preacher. You know, he's a good boy. He sits back here. He put on Facebook, said, just sitting here at the house, thanking God for all of my blessings. Thank God for my pastor and the church family. And something about just, you know, thankful that I am so blessed and able to, you know, feel his presence or feel him even where I'm at. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow. He was having a moment with God. We got to take times to do that. To have a moment with God. To look at all that he has done for us. To realize all he's done for us. Because all we want to concentrate on, we see it in the world, it's human nature, is the negative, right? Our president, whether you like him or not, he's America's president. To some people, he can do no right. No matter what he does, he can do no right. Some of you may have a boss, and no matter what they do for you, all you see is the negative in that boss. You don't see the good things they've done for you or the good things that they are. We seem to focus only on the negative and never appreciate there are some positives and there are some blessings. Let's look to that. And let's look as hard for the good as we do the dirt. And let's see what would happen. Bullying would never happen if people would look at the good in each other and not the bad. If they would appreciate the qualities, because we're all different. We're shaped different. We look different. We act different. We dress different. And there ain't a thing wrong with that. We are who we are. And if we could see the good and not the bad, and that's what Christ sees in us, the good. He sees his creation bought with the blood. The price has been paid. And he sees us now as his children. And we have a covenant he left behind, this word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit. Remember I told you about Joseph when he was in prison for those 2 years after being falsely accused of sleeping with the guy's wife? He's in prison for 2 years. But yet he still hung on. Joseph had no Holy Bible to read. Joseph had no Billy Graham to visit. Joseph had no Holy Ghost as we have Holy Ghost living inside of him. Joseph had no prison ministers coming by his way to share the gospel. We have preaching. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. And we have evidence all around us that there is a God. We have plenty to pay attention to and plenty to listen to. And our faith, our peace, our joy, our strength all comes from him. And as we read this Word of God, the more we read it, as Randy says, the more you know, the more you grow, right? And the more you read it, the more you'll believe it. And the more you believe it, the more you'll see happening in your life. Let's wrap this up. I know it's almost 8 o'clock. Gives us hope. Last point. Reading the Word of God gives us hope. We all want hope, right? We need hope. People are committing suicide because they see no hope. Who ever thought Robin Williams, who made millions and millions and millions of people laugh for decades, would be a person that would end his life. Spend his whole life making others happy, entertaining, always smiling, always joking. But for whatever reason, inside felt no hope. Look at what the verses say about hope. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. That's hope. We know the world's going to change. I don't know why everybody gets so worked up every 4 years on election time. I mean, it just don't matter, church. Look, the presidents are going to change in and out. Congress is going to change. We got midterms coming up. It's going to change. There'll be rioting. There'll be signs. There'll be buildings probably burnt. I mean, all this chaos whenever that the Bible tells us all these other things are going to pass away. They're going to keep just passing away. We've had 40, what? We're our 45th president, right? So we've had 44 of the presidents that have come and gone. And all of them, about five, are dead. They've passed away. Guess what's not passed away? Richard Nixon's dead. Dwight Eisenhower's dead. Roosevelt's dead. This is alive. They come and go, but this stays the same. Our hope is not as in who's in the White House or who's in the government or who's on the throne necessarily, if you want to call it that. Our hope is in this. Our future, the word of God, that will not pass away, but will fulfill. Just the rain comes down to water the grass. The Son of Man came down to save humanity. And there will be a day that this world will give way to the millennial kingdom of God, where all hell will be broke loose forever, all sin will be enveloped in light, and we shall take on the crown of righteousness and rise up as the children of the living God. That's going to come to pass. Our hope is in that. Read your word. It's in there. It's in there. All the way to Revelations, it's in there. One more verse on this. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What I said is what's going to happen. And there ain't no debating. They can take it out of colleges. They can theologize it away. They can denominationize it away. But you know what? My words are going to remain. After all is gone, my words are going to remain. Two more verses to close out with, just as a kind of a closure here. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why it's so important. As a pastor, one of the hardest things I have that I do as a pastor is trying to keep people throughout the years engaged in coming to church. Because when trials arise and problems come, they seem to not want to show up. And I've never understood that mentality. That's when you need to, that's like having I'm having chest pains. Scale of 1 to 10, what is it? Oh, it's a 10. Are you going to the doctor? Nah. It's the same thing. When you are having chest pains, you can't breathe unless you just ain't got no sense at all. You go to the doctor to try to get some help. When we're going through something, we need to be in church to hear the word of God, because God may have something just for Jewel that Wednesday or that Sunday that was just for her. And if she wasn't here, she missed it. But when you're here and hearing the word of God, it comes alive to you and your face increases because you hear it. You know, we have a thing now about the motivational stuff, right, where, you know, your kids are always good and they're perfect and they can't do no wrong, right? I told you my story about Ashley, and I know it made her upset. But she tried out for soccer like in seventh grade or something. And I knew she probably won't make it because she hadn't played in several years. And they take that stuff serious, these schools. And Ashley hadn't been practicing. She hadn't played in several years. But she tried out. She got in the car. She didn't make it. She was crying, upset. Of course, I felt bad for her. She's my daughter. I love her. And she goes, you know, I did better than this girl. And I finally said, honey, look. You know why you didn't make the team? You weren't good enough. That's the fact. You weren't good enough. Look, church, we need to understand. Everything's not sugar and candy. That's what's happening. That's why we got spoiled brats that don't respect the police officers. They don't respect their teachers. They're hitting their teachers. They're F-bombing their teachers. They're F-bombing our cops. They have no respect because they feel entitled that I'm special. And you can't touch me. My dad touched me. And mom touched me too. And thank God the Holy Ghost touched me. And thank God the Holy Ghost touched dad. We're in a generation of entitlement. So when things go bad, we want to blame others instead of saying, you know what, let's look in the mirror and see what the real problem is here. and maybe it is me. Look, I know. I tried for basketball in third grade. I knew I wasn't going to make it. I wasn't good enough. I couldn't jump. White men can't jump. I couldn't jump. Dad went with a little list on the door for them. They put the names out, and he come back, and we on the way to church that morning. And he's going to put the list out that weekend on the school door. So we pulled in on the way to church that Sunday. Thanks, Dad. Ruined my church service. On the way to church, and we walk by. He looks at it. Dad ain't going to spend extra gas going into the day. He's got to go on the way. So anyway, we stop by, look on the door. He come back, he goes, no, not on there. I remember I shed a few tears. It bothered me. But deep inside, I knew I wasn't good enough. I knew I wasn't really good enough to make the team. I like shooting basketball. I like playing. I like the idea of being in shorts and having a big number, my name on it. James Lewis. I played football 1 year because you didn't have to try. You just joined back then. You joined. I was on third string. I was a defensive end, number 33. Third string. I rode the bench the very last game. We was playing at North Iredell High. We played all our games. We were playing Cool Spring Falcons. There were Falcons then. And the last game of the year, it was the fourth quarter with like 3 or 4 minutes to go, the coach put me in. We were down like, I don't know, 30-0. Or we was up 30. I don't remember. We was up or down. Wait, but anyway, he put me in. I was so excited. I ran out there. The last game of the year, my only time I ever played live. I ran out there, lined up. They gave the running back, and I tackled the running back. I tackled him. I was so proud. And, you know, on the PA, they'd call your name out. You know, they didn't call my name. It was third string. They didn't have it. They didn't call my number, didn't call my name, just says, you give it to so-and-so running back, and he was tackled at the line. Yeah, 33, baby. 33. But they didn't call my name because I wasn't on their list, I'm sure, in the booth to call my name. I was third string. I don't know what any of that's got to do with what I'm saying right now. Anyway, one more verse. Close out with this. This is the Amplified. Romans 15:4. For whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the Scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. In other words, go back and read your Bible. If you're worried about your future, read your Bible. You won't be worried no more. Read what God says about you and read what God says He's going to do. This is not it for us, and the grave is not it for us. There is an end result for God's people, and that is the kingdom of God. Have hope in that. This is what the Bible teaches us. Gives us strength, gives us peace, gives us joy, gives us direction, gives us hope. And He gives other things too. But these are five key things I thought that all of us can relate to. And if these five things in our lives are fulfilled, we're in pretty good shape. We're in pretty good shape. All right, that's my message for tonight. And I wasn't real good at football either. I didn't like getting hit. I'll be honest. I didn't like a big old boy coming knocking me down. I just didn't. I was skinny back then. I was little. And I didn't like getting hit. Anybody got anything before we close tonight? What God's Word does. Thank you for sharing that. God's Word. I mean, yeah, Daniel lines in, we think it was a childhood story. But no, that's a real man in a real situation that God delivered from his enemies. Very good. All right. Let's stand up. We'll close out in prayer.